This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you for being with us on the Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to give you a further understanding of the perspectives of those spiritualists that are on the path of becoming purified servants of God. The Vedic literature starts out with a book called the Isupanishad, which is the first 18 verses. The first verse is, as we've discussed previously, is making you aware that you are not the body, you are the eternal living entity, the spirit soul. And further into this preliminary book, it describes how there are different perspectives for the different levels of devotional awakeness. That not everyone comes to the topmost platform immediately, and that progressively they go through especially three significant platforms. Now, the verse says that one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as part and parcel of God, and sees the Supreme Lord within everything, everywhere, never hates anything, nor any being. So this is a higher platform, and we'll look into this now. So this is the universal concept, a highest platform of universal brotherhood, because this person sees we are all part and parcel of God, we are all servants of God, we are all struggling with the material mind, body, and senses, and we all have an eternal relationship with the Lord, and therefore we have an eternal service to the Lord. So the three main stages in self-realization are actually relative to one's awareness of the Lord's presence in their life. Oftentimes, people that are on the lower platforms demand, show me God. That's not a problem, but you don't have the eyes to see. God is standing right in front of you. God is everywhere around you, but you don't have the eyes to see. So there is no method for helping you to see God immediately. And thereby, the spiritual master, the great saints and sages, they lay down a process, a method, whereby you can see God when you're qualified. So the beginning spiritualist at the lowest level of realization, he generally speaking, he has a place of worship, whether it's his temple, his church, or his mosque, whatever, and he has a particular religious faith, and he worships there according to his scriptural injunctions and instructions. This is the beginning level of spiritual life. And such a spiritualist, he considers the Lord to be present in the place of worship, but not elsewhere. So, he cannot understand who is in the lower or higher positions of their realization of God, because he's fixed in his platform and doesn't realize or can't actually conceive of the other ones. Nor does he able to see who's realized God. He can't tell. He's not at that level of realization. And such a spiritualist, he follows his routines and formulas and methods to purify himself and uplift himself. And sometimes they quarrel among themselves, all right? Considering one type of devotion to be better than the other type of devotion. And this is actually a materialistic conception where they are simply trying to get out of the material boundaries to step up to and hang on to a spiritual platform. Now, what we see in the world, whether it's history of the world or today in the news, it's we see these lower class spiritual people that are actually fighting among themselves, thinking that their devotion is better than someone else's devotion. And we see this all over the planet. In many instances, I mean, there's crusades hundreds and hundreds of years ago where one devotion was fighting over another devotion. We have these religious tiffs, quarrels, identifications, misidentifications all over the planet. It's a lot of it is focusing around the Muslim faith right now. Back in the 70s, I was in Ireland, the Protestants and the Catholics. It's been going on, and it's still going on. There are certain people that read one Bible and others that read a different Bible, and they're fighting with each other. Your Bible's wrong. No, your Bible's wrong. There's so many things that are being done in the name of religion, and they're actually being done because the practitioners aren't off of the very basic platform. They don't actually understand spiritual life well enough to see everyone and everything on an equal platform, to see the proper worth and the proper application of life force energy. So now the second stage of realization is when the practitioner, he observes four principal types of people. The first is the Supreme Lord himself. They see the Supreme Lord as worshipable, as the topmost being, as the salvation. Next, they see those servants of the Lord who are actually realized enough to be acting and engaging and spreading the teachings of the Lord and the Lord's plan and how to dovetail everyone and engage everyone and make everyone happy. Then they see the innocent. Those innocents are those that are living their lives relatively purely and piously, trying to do good, but don't have a clear conception of God, don't have much of a conception of God. Many times they say, nowadays, they're automatically labeled atheists. They're not. But they're labeled that. And this is back to the first class of man who's always unable to see who's realized and who's not. But the second class of man, he sees that there is an innocent group and that they can be aided, they can be informed, and they can grow spiritually. And then there are those that are actually the atheists. They have no faith in the Lord, and they hate those that say there is God and have faith in God and serve him. So a practitioner in this second level of realization, he sees these four different groups, and he behaves differently toward those four groups according to the circumstances. So to the innocent, he helps them. To the atheist, he avoids them. To those servants of God, he tries to be friends with them and assist. And to the Supreme Lord, he's humbly trying to serve him. Now, the third level of realization, this is where the person sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord. He does not see discrimination between the atheist and the servant of God. He sees all of them, whether he's vastly learned or he's a dog in the street. He sees that they simply have a material body and a conscious conception that goes with that body due to their work, pious or impious work. And they've been awarded a body by the grace of the Lord to work through their multiple desires and misconceptions to purify themselves. And his attitude is seeing that they are under the laws of nature and they're punished for their misuse of their independence. And he is compassionate. And he tries to help both the dog and the faithful and the atheist to understand who they really are and what is their actual duty in this human form of life. So, this conception of universal brotherhood is only able to be seen when you're done with the foolish misconceptions of individual desire. When you're actually to the platform that you have surrendered and you are focused upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know he is the Supersoul in the heart of every living entity, accompanying the individual eternal spirit soul, and that he is supporting and allowing and assisting and encouraging according to the need. So it's clearly mentioned in the Vedic literature, one should observe. This means that one must follow the previous teachers, acharyas, in the disciplic succession, and understand how to see these different levels of spiritualists correctly, and how to properly understand that level that you're at, and how to transcend that level and move to the topmost conception of love of God. So this is the instruction, this is the intent of the Vedic literature, is to help every individual living entity, irrespective of the platform of realization they're on, to make the connection of their eternal reality with the eternal service of the Lord. So, this means that you don't see things with your eyes. This means that you see things with perspective, conceptions. Due to the material world, our eyes are defective. We have defective material eyes that don't see things properly. So the development of love of God and the purification of our consciousness and coming to the platform of being realized is not a visual thing. It is an understanding, an awakening, a realization. So hearing is more important than seeing. So we're advised in this verse to hear from the realized spiritual master, to hear from the chain of saints and sages called the disciplic succession that are protecting this Vedic knowledge such that it gets to you purely, so that you don't get any misconceptions with the teachings. You come to the highest source in Vedic wisdom, and that wisdom is spoken by the Lord himself in the Vedic literature. It is not someone else's interpretation for you. It is the Lord explaining directly to you. And we can see how there can be instructions that sound general, but they're totally applicable to all of us because we are all eternal living entities. We are all capable with our minute independence of making decisions both beneficial and both detrimental. And our responsibility is to learn from a realized soul and do the right things so we don't waste time here in the material world, because the longer you're here, the more the suffering goes on, the more the anxiety continues. So the Vedic truths are coming in the disciplic succession of spiritual masters from the Lord all the way down to the present moment, right here, right now, today, to you. What is intelligent, and how to use that knowledge and intelligence to form the proper perspective and understanding that leads to love of God. So these instructions are simply heard from the spiritual master. You have to hear them. You don't do them. You hear them. And this continued hearing gives you a broader and broader and more thorough and thicker and more comprehensive understanding of the Vedic point of view. Until that point of view covers all aspects of your material life, both material and spiritual, and it clarifies for you what is right and what is wrong, and it clarifies for you your position and how to use your life force energy and your free will independence correctly. Because your independence is not taken away. It's not something you lose. You either use it to your advantage or you use it to your disadvantage. The Vedic literature and the disciplic succession are trying to teach you how to use it to your advantage. And if you do that, if you actually see things in proper perspective, and you use your independence correctly, you become selfless. The selfishness is like a fever that is cured by the talented physician. The fever subsides, and then you can see and feel and taste and live normal life. This is exactly what the great saints and sages are doing for us. They're putting out this fever of misconception, of selfishness. That's the fever. You see someone, some little child, they'll gimme, 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 I want, kicking, screaming, fighting, making a fuss, public attention, all this stuff. It's just like a diseased child. In the Vedic literature, it's the fever of selfishness that's not been properly controlled by the parents. They don't understand that it's a fever and it needs to be controlled and subside so that the normal characteristics, the normal behavior of the child can come through. Similarly, we're in a fever of selfishness, and it does not lead to normal condition. And the Vedic literature and the saints and sages are just like intelligent parents. They're controlling, guiding, helping, encouraging you to get the fever to go away, get the fever to go out, so that you can be your normal, eternal, spiritually conscious, selfless being. If you think about being part and parcel of God, you have the qualities and characteristics of God, we can see clearly God is not selfish. So his natural condition is selfless. Well, then that's our natural condition. So we have artificially adopted this selfishness, artificially adopted this fever. We've contracted a fever of material selfishness. And everyone is struggling with this fever. It distorts things. You've all had a fever, 102, 103. You've all had a fever. And it distorts things. It distorts your vision, your balance, your eating pattern, your thinking, sleeping patterns. It's all distorted because of the fever. And this is what we're experiencing. We're in the fever of selfish existence, and everything in our life is distorted, and it makes it more difficult to live, more difficult to find peace, happiness, to find our true place. There are many people that don't know, what is my place? What is my purpose? What is right for me in my life? And they can't get answers from another person who has the fever. So we see this society is a feverish mentality. That's what the Vedic literature calls it. It's a feverish mentality. Human material existence is now a feverish mentality. And the Vedic literature and the teachings of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the teachings of the Vedic parampara, disciplic succession, they are all like physicians that put out the fever. They cool the weary mind. They calm the tortured soul. So Vedic knowledge is a very vital component. And the teachings of the spiritual master to help you understand this Vedic knowledge and apply the Vedic knowledge to make the fever go away. So you can taste what is selflessness. What is selfless service to others? These are our natural qualities. You are naturally selfless. You are naturally a servant. You like to give aid and support and help to others. You see this a million times. There can be a problem, an accident, a lost child, so many different things, and the people step forward to try to help. You don't have to ask them. You don't have to pay them. They're naturally inclined to help, to render service, to solve the problem, to put out the poor child's fever. And they put down their life and their fever momentarily to try to be selfless and help you. They don't ask for payment. We found your child, ma'am. Here is your child. He's fine. Here he is. Please take him down the line. And they walk away feeling, it was good to help. Yes, that's your normal condition. We're not supposed to be fighting and arguing. We're not supposed to be looking down on everyone. We're not supposed to be critical and selfish. selfish to the point of taking it from someone else. This is not normal. This is the fever. The Vedic literature puts the fever out. These temporary things that you care for, you fight over, they're not important, because once you get it, you're going to go, well, yeah, so what? I got it. It doesn't fulfill me, does it? Oh, dear. And you can learn that by hearing the Vedic literature and understanding these things don't help. But a moment of free, selfless service to others without expectation of return, it does something warm to your heart. It puts out the fire, the fever, and it builds a fulfillment, a satisfaction that is so uplifting. You tell everybody about it. Oh, I helped find this kid today. And Mom lost him, and we found him and brought him back. Oh, to see him hug each other was wonderful. I felt really good inside. I still do. It's really wonderful to help. You don't have to ask them, broadcast this. You don't have to pay them. Here's the money. You don't have to do any of that. It's a natural, effervescent of fulfillment that comes with getting out of the selfish fever and getting into selfless help, service. We are all servants. We're serving our cats and dogs, our cars, our house, our employer, our government. Oh, my God. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on with expectation of return. We're supposed to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has a plan for everyone. He has a job for everyone. He has a position, vacancy for everyone in his plan. You need to give up your selfish plans and try to understand his selfless plan and get hooked up to it and be in that state of happiness. Oh, it was so good to help. It was so good to solve a problem for someone else. That is where you need to be. Lonely people do that. They get lonely because they have no one around them, and then they meet someone and they want to do good. They want to help them. They want to encourage them. They want to solve a problem for them. And they find that's the only thing that makes the loneliness go away. Selfless devotional service to God makes all of the different types of anxieties you can experience in this material world go away and stay away. You just keep serving. You learn how to serve through the instructions of the spiritual master. You associate with other servants of the spiritual master. You give of yourself. You learn and taste the glory and the grace of being a helpful, selfless servant. And your spiritual life is off and running. Then you can see things. Then you can see others. Then you can see activities in proper perspective. But while you have the fever of selfishness, you cannot see things correctly. It is not possible. So the Vedic literature is teaching you there's several levels of self-realization, the first, second, and the third. And you need to keep going and rise yourself up to the topmost level where everything makes sense, everything feels right, everything is fulfilling. This is the devotional platform. This is the intent of the Vedic literature. Get you out of this material platform, material tabernacle of life, the selfish fever of existence, and get you into this highest selfless devotional attitude, the selfless service where love of God is the standard. Selfless service to the Lord's plan for the betterment of everyone, because that's the Lord's plan. Let's have compassion and help these fallen souls who are confused, who think they're the body, who don't understand what is religion, who don't know how to raise themselves out of the material conception of life. Let's help them. This is a real service. This is a real occupation. This is real selfless grace. You become fulfilled, uplifted. You become whole again. You become who you really are, an eternal servant of God whose consciousness is uplifted by doing good to others. Give of yourself is greater than getting for yourself. So we practice that with one another, and we achieve that in love of God, and we end up helping the Lord help others. We render service to the Lord because He's rendering all types of service to maintain this manifestation for everyone. And He still is totally potent and independent, be there to exchange love, to exchange respect, to happiness with all of the living entities. He has a position for all of us. He has a vacancy that needs just your unique kind of service and perspective and sense of humor and point of view. It fulfills the Lord to see the unique qualities that we bring to the table, because we are all unique, eternal, living entities. This is the opportunity. This is what is normal, natural, and fulfilling all simultaneously. So take to the Vedic literature. Understand these different classes and platforms. Lift yourself out of the selfish fever that this human society has established as normal. Reach out for your natural condition of life. Love of God, love of others, love of self, freedom from misconception, freedom from selfishness. This is where the opportunity you're looking for is rooted. In understanding, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant, eternal living entity. Let me go back, let me live in, revive that normal condition of life. That is actually healthy life. That is happy life. That is who we really are. This is the benefit of the Vedic literature, the teachings of the spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.